Hi, I'm George Norrie, and welcome to the new iHeartMedia and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Like us on Facebook, tell your friends, and share us with everyone. This is an exciting new network that will feature podcasts of the paranormal, supernatural, and the unexplained. Now please sit back and enjoy Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain.
Hi, I'm Sandra Champlain. For almost 25 years, I've been on a journey to prove the existence of life after death. On each episode, we'll discuss the reasons we now know that our loved ones have survived physical death. And so will we. Welcome to Shades of the Afterlife. I thought today I'd introduce you to a very scientifically minded man to get his take on the afterlife and consciousness. It's a common thought amongst skeptics that science in a whole doesn't believe in the afterlife. This is simply not true. There are many scientists like Dr. Alan Huguenot that are very interested in the topic. Dr. Alan Huguenot is a semi-retired naval architect and marine engineer. He holds a doctorate of science in mechanical engineering, and he is a nationally recognized expert in physics and engineering science. After surviving a near-death experience in 1970, he has made a 45-year scientific study of consciousness survival and evidential mediumship. He now serves as a research medium with the Consciousness Research Lab at the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and also serves with Dr. Gary Schwartz at the University of Arizona. He's on the board of directors for both the International Association for Near-Death Studies, IANS.org, and the Academy for Spiritual and Consciousness Studies. Welcome, Dr. Alan. We're happy to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
I watched the wonderful film that you had sent me on YouTube called The Nature of Consciousness, and I'm super excited to have you share your words with my listeners today.
All right. Well, I was a young man, college physics major, and I was riding my motorcycle home from a day job I had working at designing engineering sprinkler systems for buildings, and this guy turned left in front of me, never saw me, and I got to hit the side of his car at about 25 miles an hour, but it really takes you out. I was in the hospital for 33 days. I was in a coma for 12 hours.
Wow.
And I had a near-death experience in 1970 that Raymond Moody didn't publish his book till 1975,
right.
That coined the phrase near-death experience. So, of course, their standard procedure is you're delusional. You think you're Jesus. You think you died and came back. And so they wanted to put me in the nut house. But my orthopedic surgeon discharged me 5 days early from the hospital in order to get away from those people. He literally threw my clothes on my lap, put me in a wheelchair, and took me down the freight elevator and out the back door, so that they couldn't commit me to the insane asylum, because you had insane to think such stupid things as that you went to the other side and came back.
Right.
So I always say this, it's very funny this way. In those days, they wanted to put me in the nut house. Now they pay me to speak. we made some progress, obviously.
What was your experience like, and how many broken bones did you have?
In those days, our helmets that we wear on a motorcycle didn't have a round in front of your chin. And so I took a nice bite out of his luggage rack, and I had all of the upper teeth were cracked and broken in the top of my mouth, and fissures above that in my skull. And then I had the radius of my right wrist was broken off and pushed up under the skin clear up to my elbow. Then my right femur was shattered in about 400 pieces. They couldn't put a pin down the middle to put it back together. They had to put plates on the outside. And it took about 4 hours to put the femur back together. And, of course, I went unconscious about 3 hours after the accident, because in those days they didn't cut your head open like we do now with the Iraq War. We're going to cut their head open and let their brain swell. And so they kind of look at you and say, well, if he's still here in a couple of days, we'll work on him.
Oh, geez.
So there I was, and I wasn't bleeding or hemorrhaging. And so they finally operated me on Thursday after I had the wreck on Monday. You know, it's like that kind of thing. And so when they did finally operate, then I'm in traction and everything. And it was pretty miserable. I was in the intensive care for quite a long time. But you want to know about the near-death experience itself. I went directly to the light. I didn't go down through a tunnel like a lot of people see a tunnel. And to me, this is very interesting. Most near-death experience people tell you about going, and then when they come back, they say, suddenly I was back in my body. Well, I can't remember going, but I can certainly remember coming back into the body. And so only two or three of us that have gotten some really good stuff. One is PhD Matt Water has some pretty good stuff on returning to the body. Uh-huh. And both of us, we remember coming, I remember coming through flames. She remembers coming through sparklers. And we think that as you return, that that's your extra intelligence or whatever you want to say it, annihilating in the, as you come back into 3D. And from 4D or wherever we are, we're coming back into this environment, and that extra intelligence or the extra knowledge that you have. Because if you talk to near-death experiences, we have all kinds of knowledge on that side. We come back here and we feel limited. And that's what it is. And so Thoth Hermes, 6,000 years ago said, the soul is encased in flames. And yes, it is. So anyway, we come back in, and I remember slamming back into the body, coming in somewhere near the head, and just wham, you're back into this existence, this painful existence. And it wasn't my injuries. It was the pain of the feelings of this physical existence. If you push your two fingers together, you feel the two fingers touching each other. Keep pushing and it starts to hurt. Mm-hmm. Everything that you feel in this universe is pain. That's what you feel. I mean, call it emotions or feelings, but it's all pain, just different levels of it. And so I slam back into the body. Ah, I'm back in this thick, dense, awful place. Being with the light over there, hey, it was home. I'd known the light for 1,000 years. It's like, hey, no introductions. I know this light. The light knows me. That's us. You know, we are me, you know. And then all of a sudden, I'm back here. And that's why some near-death experiencers say to the ERs, the EMTs that have revived them, they say, why'd you do that? I liked where I was. Mm-hmm. You know, we really don't want to come back. And when we do, we don't commit suicide, because we know that the message we got while we were over there was, you can't come here till you finish what you're doing there, which means if we were to commit suicide and have a body that wasn't viable, we'd have to be born again and come back through another little baby's body and have another lifetime in order to finish our destiny, whatever that is. So we're convinced that we need to finish it so we can stay over there. We go back very badly, but we don't go back early. And so that tells me a lot about this side. And so there I am, 21 years old, and I'm a college student, and I know all about this, and I know that this whole universe that we don't know anything about, and I'm studying Newtonian physics in the little box that we have, and I made my whole career in hydrodynamics and everything else using Newtonian physics, but all the time I knew this huge universe is out there. It's much bigger. And then one day in 1998, they put up the Hubble telescope, and they began to see that the universe was expanding faster and faster instead of slowing down as they had previously thought, mm-hmm. down due to gravity. And then the only explanation they have is dark energy and dark matter. And then when they sit right down to think about it, they say, well, we can see light energy, which is 4% of the universe, and we cannot discern 96% of the universe. And then those same materialist scientists, with all that hubris of not knowing 96% of what there is out there, will say, but we're sure there's no afterlife, and the 96%, we don't know what it is.
Right. That's crazy.
You idiots. Mm-hmm. You know. You don't know 96%, you don't know, but you're positive that things you don't want and don't like aren't out there. Okay, so why don't they like it and not want it? Because they still, though they quit believing in Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, and God, they still believe in hell. And if we allow a conscious universe, they're going to catch hell. And that's why they're so militant against us. They forgot to forget hell.
Interesting.
As they grew up, they forgot about the Easter Bunny. They forgot about Santa Claus. They forgot about God. But they forgot to forget about hell. All the stuff they were taught as a little child. And they're going to catch hell if they allow us to have a conscious universe. But we know there isn't a hell. So what's the worry? That they don't listen to us. So that's kind of what it was like. And I come back, and the psychiatrist says to me, but you're not Jesus. You didn't die and come back. I said, no, I don't know that Jesus did that either. But I did this. I went over there and I came back. And so then I finally said to him, look, I said, I've been to Mexico. You haven't. You claim Mexico's not there. Why don't you come along with me and discover Mexico,
Yeah, great way of putting it. Sure. Yeah.
That made him mad. I told him, I said, I respect your degrees and everything else, but you haven't been to Mexico. And so he wanted to put me in the nut house really badly. And, that's the kind of thing I learned, and I came back and I was very empathetic, and I could feel everybody in the room and what they were thinking and what they were doing. And I just had to learn to close up and fold up and not be involved and not feel what they were doing over there. And then when I got near retirement, about 2006, I said, now I can study mediumship. And I started to open up again because, I could feel all that stuff. And I just opened it all up again and started going to Arthur Findlay and having fun. And it's been a great experience ever since. As a scientist who becomes a medium that believes in it, and that's what it takes. And that's why all the other scientists have fun with me, because I can talk to them at their level, and then I can also do the mediumship, and then they can test me and wire my head and see what I'm doing. So a lot of fun.
And you've had your head wired?
I've had my head wired. Dean Radin and Dr. Arnold DeLorme have wired my head with 32-point EEG and then put me in a Faraday cage. And as they're closing the door, Helen, who talks to me from the other side, whom I never met in this life, but she came to me to talk to me, Helen says, they're putting us in a cabinet. She's in there with me. They're trying to show that, no, there's no electrical or magnetic way that anything could come to me, but I'm still getting the information. So it's just fine. But a cabinet back in the 1880s, mediums would have a cabinet to concentrate their energy. So they're closing the door on the Faraday cage, and I'm inside there. And Helen says, it's a cabinet, Alan. And I say, yeah, that's right, Helen, And so I go into an altered state, and they were having me look at pictures of people the pictures were adjusted. So you couldn't tell what era they were from or anything. And they would say, are these people alive or dead? Mm-hmm. And so I have three buttons to push, yes, no, or maybe. And I put my fingers on the buttons and I say to Helen, okay, Helen, I'll just go into an altered state and you look and pick if they're alive or dead. And we hit about 62% correct. And that's not bad. Usually if you're anything better than 50-50, then it's obviously you're not guessing. So that's as good as we could get. We were validating a previous study. And I said to them then, I said, now this is not what mediums do. And Dr. Lawrence says, so what would you like to do instead? And I said, well, I'd like to actually give people readings. So we set up a protocol, and the 26 questions I ask all spirits anyway is, first, what's your name? What's your relationship? How'd you die? I've got a set of questions for them. And I tell spirit, if you don't answer the questions, I'm not going to take the message. I got to have these first, because I want to know, I'm talking to you. I want your name, and so I can tell the person your name. I want your relationship, so I can tell them your relationship. And if I can have that evidence up front, then I'll take the message.
We'll be back in just a minute with the logical mind of scientist Dr. Alan Huguenot. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/shades today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/shades.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Did you know that tests that could save your life from cancer are now available for little or no cost thanks to the healthcare law called the Affordable Care Act? Let this be the year you get screening tests that can detect cancer early when it's most treatable. Don't let concerns get in the way. Talk to a doctor or other medical professional to learn more about the best cancer testing options for you.
Hey folks, producer Tom here, reminding you to make sure and check out our official Coast to Coast AM YouTube channel. For many of us, YouTube is our go-to place for audio-visual media, and we here at Coast to Coast are happy to share free hour-long excerpts of Coast to Coast AM with you, our loyal fans and new listeners. Our YouTube channel offers many different Coast to Coast AM hour-long pieces of audio on numerous topics, including ufology, extraterrestrials, conspiracies, strange creatures, prophecies, and much, much more. There's even a section that includes our most popular uploads, such as many of the David Pilates shows on people disappearing in national parks. To visit or subscribe, just go to YouTube and type in Coast to Coast AM Official, or you can simply go to the coasttocoastam.com website and click on the YouTube icon at the top. It's the official Coast to Coast AM YouTube channel. You're gonna love this. Just get on over to coasttocoastam.com and start your free listening now.
You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain on the new iHeartMedia and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And don't forget, you can listen to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite shows.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we're with Dr. Alan Huguenot, a nationally recognized expert in physics and engineering science, as he shares being tested as a research medium at the Institute of Noetic Sciences.
And so DeLorme set it up with Dean Radin. They set it up so I did all 32 employees at the Noetic Center in 2 days. I gave them five-minute readings. Triple blind. They walk in the room. I don't know their name. I just get to see them. I look at them, and then I write the answers to the questions. And we did very, very well. We would unblind the study if I was to be able to ever meet with the employees and say, okay, how much of that made sense to you? Because that would unblind it. They'd say, oh yeah, you had the right name. And then people would say that I preconceived it. It was precognition and it wasn't mediumship. And so we don't want to unblind it, but I have seen four of the employees of the 32 who have walked up to me on campus at the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and they come running towards me. And I hold up my hands and I put my finger in front of my mouth and say, shh, mm-hmm. What? And I said, we cannot unblind the study. And they just, they just want to talk to me so
yes,
bad.
Yes, of course.
I say, here's what you can do. You can tell me if it was really good or if it was really bad, and they say, oh my God, really good. So four of them have done that, including Sandra Beaton, the president of the Noetic Society. She's one of the four. And so just to let you know, they got their messages really well, and that worked really well. We haven't gotten another medium to do that. We just don't have any money to study that particular thing yet, but we will use that protocol. Dr. Dorham and I and others will use that protocol on other mediums to make it, because it's what mediums do. We answer the questions like that. And so evidential mediums get it. You're going to, this is the answers. And Suzanne Giesman and I, we call that name, rank, and serial number. It's just a list of questions. You give me name, rank, and serial number, I'm working with you. And if you can't do that, don't. And it works so well, because anytime I sit down and get to know the client a little bit, the sitter a little bit, I will get the names every time, 100%. The name comes through, the exact name. Here it is, in the exact relationship. Here it is, because that's what spirit's pouring down through me. I'm just open, and it just comes out, and there it is. It's not me. I've done it in front of the spiritualist church where I get five names and five relationships perfectly done in front of, for three sitters, and who the people were and what their names were. And I've done that with scientists in the room. And they look at it and they say, how did you do that? And I say, I did not do that. All I did was be open. Spirit did that, because the odds are 320 billion to one when we figure that out statistically. I couldn't guess that. Five names. I mean, just to guess a name is 200 to
one. I understand. It's impossible. It's so rare. But then I've had even people argue the point with me, saying, well, then somebody must be reading somebody's mind.
Well, okay, so I was doing that one. I did Mary Franklin, and I got her grandmother that she never met, that died before she was born. And I said, her name's Mary and yours is Mary. That doesn't make sense to me. She said, later, she said, well, yeah, I'm named after her. But then the spirit gave me the middle name. And I'm sitting there saying, Margaret. Well, her middle name was Mamie. That's why I'm saying, I don't stutter. But we didn't know that. She didn't know that. Nobody in the room knew that. But her cousin back east had a picture. On the back of the picture said Mary Adelaide, nicknamed Mamie.
Wow.
Which we got 3 weeks later. You know, I mean, we didn't know what was happening there. But that's the kind of stuff. I'm not reading somebody's mind. How could I read her cousin's mind in New York? There's 3 million people in the United States, at least 300 million people in the United States. I couldn't possibly pick her out from way back there and pick her brain. How would I do that?
Well, and that's kind of a dumb argument anyways, because if you could read somebody's mind, why couldn't you read a dead person's mind?
That's correct. And so we always say to the materialist that says that, well, you don't believe in ESP either, so how can you say I did ESP?
Aha.
I don't believe in either one. And, you know, that you can't use something else you don't believe in to disprove the first thing you don't believe in. You've got to, you know, believe in the thing you're using to disprove something. You can't, you know, that's a stupid argument.
Yes. Wasn't there a study that was done too with mediums, whether they were in the alpha state, delta, gamma, theta?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're when Gary Schwartz did one of those, and Dr. DeLorme's done one at the Dometic Society. Both of the labs have done this. And what they've discovered is it's mostly gamma. And gamma is what you do, your muscles, your feelings, it's not your imagination. Mm. And they can show you pictures of this, diagrams of it, of your head, showing you what perception looks like, what imagination looks like, what recollection looks like, what mediumship looks like, and what normal looks like, and they're all different. But we've shown that your gamma is what's happening. Your muscles, your feelings, your hearing, and your eyes are what are doing all the work. And your brain's not fabricating anything. It's just taking in information through the feelings. Clairsentient, clairvoyant, and clairaudient. That's what you're doing. And they can show that. We've got very good data for that, to show that it's coming from outside the medium. Now, where it's coming from, is it coming from Akashic record? Am I remembering things about grandma? Mm-hmm. I can tell you from my own experience working with Helen that it's an ongoing relationship. She does things that weren't there before. This is not history that I'm reading about Helen. Okay. Mm-hmm. Helen plays with me from the other side. And I get that. And every time I go to a medium myself, especially at Arthur Finnway, where everybody gives you a reading, they'll just look at me and they'll say, is her name Helen? And they don't even know. Or she's my wife's mother and I never met her. Okay. My mother-in-law.
Yeah.
But she left a bracelet for my wife before I met my wife, and left it in the safe and said, this is for Gail. And then when Gail knew I wanted turquoise to break up the circuit so people can't suck my energy off after I'm working as a medium, the turquoise does do that. It fits nicely in the circuit. And
didn't know that.
Yeah. That's why we like our turquoise.
Okay. So, good to know.
So, She says, oh, well, Helen had a turquoise bracelet. She gives me the bracelet. So I'm over at Arthur Findlay in 2015, and at this medium has been doing it for about 30 years. We're in an advanced class, and we're doing stuff with Simone Key, and we're having a good time. And this medium is giving me a reading. She says, oh, and I've got this lady here, and oh, she gave you a bracelet after she died. How did she do that? You know, and this lady's from Scotland. You know, how did she do that? Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, well, you know, here's how she did that, you know, because they get the information like that. Well, see, Helen plays with me all the time like that through other mediums. And she wakes me up at 3 every morning so I can have a, you know, sit down and get some impressional writing from her. And I'm working on the soul phone with Gary Schwartz. And Gary had said, here, go get the answer. I mean, this is like a year and a half ago. Go get the answer. I said, okay, what's the question? He says, no, it doesn't work the way it is. It's triple blind. You just go get the answer. Oh, thank you. Okay, so I go off to get the answer. And 4.5, 5 months later, I start getting this information for about 6 weeks through Helen, and it's coming from James Clerk Maxwell and Max Planck. And it's coming to me, and other people get their information from David Bohm and other people like that. But here it comes, and I was told in 2013, before I met Gary, that James Clerk Maxwell would be working through me. And so here I am getting this information, and it's all about optics. And I think, well, I know Gary's working on audio, you know, and I'm getting all this optical information, crystals and lattice structures. And this is crazy, you know. So, but I write it all down because I'm taught at Arthur Findlay College, give what you get. So yes. I write all down and give what you get. And this is what Helen said this day, and this is what Helen said that day. And here's what Max Planck said, and here's what James Clerk Maxwell said. So I get it all done, and I package it all up after the 6 weeks since the end of July. And Gary says, when are you guys coming down? He wants to see my wife's Tesla S. And so I said, oh, we'll come down in August. So we drive down in August. We get there. We go out to Tombstone territory, and we come back, and we're having fun. And then Sunday afternoon, we go to Gary's lab, and we sit down. And Gary says, okay, Alan, by the way, you got the answer. So I did. What was the question again? You know, and you verified 95% of what I've been looking to get the verification on. And that's why I wanted you, a scientist who was a medium, to go do this, because Rhonda's been working on it. She's an artist. And, you know, for her to explain it in scientific terms are very difficult. It's taken a long time. And you've verified everything she's worked 7 years to get. And you've done it in about 6 weeks. And I like that. And I said, well, part of that's because we already made the pattern and I can find the pattern and follow it. But it's also the download from the other side. And he says, now that we have the verification independently, and he says, other meetings have got me a piece of each of this. You know, they'll get this piece or that piece, but you got this whole chunk. And I said, but it's optical. And he says, yeah, I know. That's what I wanted. And you thought it was audio, didn't you? And I said, yeah, I thought you wanted audio. He says, well, that just led you astray on purpose.
Well, and this is about the technology behind the soul phone.
Exactly right.
Oh, wow.
That's the stuff we're doing. We're talking to these scientists from the other side and getting this stuff. And that comes through Helen. See, and Helen, and you say to the scientists, why do you work through us? What, you know, you're pretty famous. Why are you working through us? Why don't you go somewhere else? And they say, because you're the only ones doing it. Where else are we going to go? I mean, come on, give me a break. And that's literally what they tell us. You're the only ones doing it. Where are you going to use you? And that's why they use us. We have enough belief. And they've told me, they say, well, you and Helen have known each other for a long time. I've never met her before in this physical life. Mm-hmm. Apparently, we've known each other before. And Helen reads me like a book. She doesn't come through for her own daughter, Gail, who can go and see when she's at Arthur Findlay taking a class. She can see the spirit standing next to the people. Helen doesn't talk to Gail. She talks to me. And it's like, it's the craziest thing in the world because it's her mom.
Right.
She talks to me. It's like, okay. But Gail can say when I write this impressions that I get, she says, oh, that's Helen right there. I can see that. Oh, that's her. Oh yeah, she said that. And so she can see her mom in it, and yet she doesn't talk to her. But the first time I ever got a reading from a medium who brought up Helen, she said, I've got a mother figure here. So I'm thinking my grandma and my mother and like that. And she says she's an architect from Minneapolis. I said, well, first off, none of my grandmothers are architects, and none of them are from
Minneapolis.
Yeah, none of them from Minnesota. They're from Virginia and Ohio and, you know, and Kansas, Missouri. And She says, I'll go back. And then she comes back, you know, 86-year-old medium, really great. And she says, oh, she says she's not exactly a relative, but she's a mother figure. Well, who's not exactly your relative, but a mother figure? Your mother-in-law, couldn't be anybody else. And then she says, and she's not an architect, but she draws houses. I live in a building that she drew. And then she said, and she's definitely from Minneapolis, and Helen is definitely from Minneapolis.
We'll be back in just a moment to continue listening to Alan, but wanted to point something out to you. The way mediumship works is that the deceased can only use the information that is already in your own memory bank. Helen knew architecture, so it makes sense why she is working from the other side with Dr. Alan, who is also a marine architect. For the scientific information needed to proceed with the soul phone, Dr. Gary Schwartz worked with Dr. Alan to get the information from scientists in the afterlife because Dr. Alan is a scientist. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Every 8 minutes, the American Red Cross brings help and hope to people in need. Thanks to the support of everyday heroes like you, the Red Cross is able to respond to disasters big and small, support military families, help ensure that blood is available when needed, and teach life-saving skills like CPR and first aid. Be a hero. Donate today. Visit redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS.
Hey folks, it's easier than ever to become a Coast to Coast AM insider and have access to past shows, the Art Bell Vault with classic audio and interviews, and so much more. And you can listen to the show live or on demand with your computer or cell phone, and the audio streams are high quality and crystal clear. It's easy to become an insider. Just head on over to coasttocoastam.com, the website, and you'll find all the info right there. That's coasttocoastam.com, coasttocoastam.com.
The best afterlife information you can get while you're alive.
Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we are with scientist and medium, Dr. Alan Huguenot, questioning how do we really know if it's the other side communicating?
As scientists, we just don't know. But to us mediums, oh yes, we know exactly. The spirit is talking to us, and it's really that person. And when I do readings and I get names, and I know the name, and I've got somebody's mother there and their sister-in-law that died and their brother, and I got them all by name, and I'm talking, what else can it be except those individuals coming back?
Oh, of course.
It can't be their memory.
Yeah.
It's more than that. And so we're busy doing that, and that's why I wrote the book the new science of the conscious universe. I wrote that book because people have to know that quantum electrodynamics supports everything that we think. And the materialists are using old stuff from 350 years ago. They're based on the first principles of materialism. And those first principles were all assumed to be self-evident 350 years ago. Now, nobody's ever sat down and tried to prove them. And if they would, quantum electrodynamics does not support reality. It does not support determinism. It does not support certainty. It doesn't support any of these basic principles of materialism. But it does support a conscious universe, and it does support multiple dimensions. If you take string theory and you look at string theory, there are 8 different levels out there, 7 more than the 3 we have, plus M theory on top. Well, if you look at the Kabbalah, or you look at the older interpretations, there's 7 heavens, and then there's God or Ein Sof above that. And if you look at these older systems of looking at consciousness, which are religious, and you look at string theory, it's the same thing. It's just a different way of saying it, whether we do it mathematically or we do it in a metaphysical way. And metaphysics just means beyond physics. And when Descartes divided it up, he said physics is going to be what we can see, and metaphysics is going to be what we can't see. And we've got a whole bunch of materialists that think the whole thing is what we can see. Understand, there's this whole other part that Descartes and Newton. Newton was an alchemist, for heaven's sake. He was into where do we get this information? How do we get this information? The Nobel laureates who gave us quantum electrodynamics were into Hindu this and good off that, and they were into everything else, and they were not into what everybody thinks materialism. What happened is we didn't listen to the German intelligentsia after the Second World War. We thought, oh, the Holocaust, the Germans are terrible. And so the American second-level intellects who were running the colleges but weren't Nobel laureates who gave us quantum electrodynamics began to say, we won the war. America knows. We're the best. Instead of looking and saying, you know, those guys who gave us quantum electrodynamics really knew what they were doing. And what did they say? Max Planck in 1900, before he called Einstein to come work with him over at Berlin, mm-hmm. Max said, mind is the matrix of matter. Mind is the matrix of matter. In other words, the universe is conscious. Those guys knew what they were doing. Schrodinger, Dirac, Bohr, all of those people knew that the universe is conscious. We're still having to prove it 90 years after by 1934, they had quantum electrodynamics completely nailed down. It took till 65 for the 3 scientists to put the mathematics to it. But we already knew that quantum electrodynamics is real. And why do I say quantum electrodynamics? Everyone else says quantum mechanics. That's mm-hmm. because materialists trying to say that it's mechanical. It's not mechanical. It's not physical. It's not quantum mechanics. It's quantum electrodynamics. That's what they called it. And so quantum mechanics makes sense to a materialist. It's not. It's a separate thing. It's different. Quantum electrodynamics requires an observer outside the system. Okay, and when you see the double slit experiment, and I often explain that when I'm doing a presentation, but yeah. You can and look up Dr. Quantum, and Fred Allen Wolf has a great cartoon of Dr. Quantum with the double slit experiment. And the double slit experiment, the thing that's so important to know, and this was in the movie What to Believe Do We Know, the photon realizes that we're looking at it and decides to be a particle of matter. Otherwise, it remains a wave. It only changes from a wave to a particle when a conscious mind looks at it. We can record what it's doing mechanically, and it'll remain in the quantum state until a conscious mind, a living conscious mind, looks at the data, in which case it all retroactively backwards moves from the quantum state into the physical state. It collapses the wave function retroactively. We can show that in an experiment, that it requires a consciousness outside of physics to observe the potential and create what's going to be. Okay, when you understand that at a very deep level, you understand what David Bohm's talking about with the implicate universe, explicate universe, and the implicate universe. The implicate universe is the one we don't see. The explicate one is the one we do see. But the one we do see comes from the one that we don't see. When you understand all of that, you finally get to the realization that when materialists talk about the Big Bang, all you have to do is ask them, what was here 2 weeks before the Big Bang? They don't have an answer. So their Big Bang is a worse creation story than any religion saying God made it.
Right.
There's nothing to support it. But here's the reality. From quantum electrodynamics, there had to be a consciousness observing the Big Bang to make it happen, to make the wave function collapse into the Big Bang. There had to be a consciousness. Quantum electrodynamics requires it. Now, if you say, well, I don't want to believe in quantum electrodynamics, fine. Get rid of your cell phone. Get rid of anything with a transistor in it, because we need transistor. We need quantum electrodynamics to be true in order for you to have a transistor. And we've had transistors since 1947, and they're all based on quantum electrodynamics being true. It's the most proven theory of all of physics, of all of time.
Wow, that's incredible. Alan, I wanted to ask you about the power of intention. I've studied at the Arthur Findlay College, and it was said many, many times how powerful intention is. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Intention is absolutely tied into all of this. And what you intend is what will occur. Intention creates the universe. When you observe, why does the photon become what you want to see? Einstein said it this way. So if all of that's true, then if we stop looking at the moon, it disappears. That's what Einstein says. And yes, if everyone stopped looking at the moon, it would disappear. It only just appears because we start to look at it. And you say, well, how can that be? Well, we reappear. You and I are an illusion to begin with, and we constantly reappear right where we are. We're a constantly reoccurring apparition, and we rematerialize out of the zero point field, the dark energy, into the light energy that we see. We rematerialize 23 septillion times a second. That's a pretty big number. It's like a lot of zero.
It's hard for my brain to get around this, and I trust it.
You and I are a continuously reappearing apparition, and we're being formed out of the universe all the time, and so is the desk and the chair and everything around you. Okay? And there's some collective intention here. If I go to Yosemite, I'm going to see Half Dome just like you saw Half Dome in Yosemite, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to see the same thing. That's collective intention, okay? We're all going to see Half Dome. But Half Dome's not really there. It just appears in front of us 23 septillion times a second. And you say, well, I can watch a chip of rock fall and off the cliff and fall down there and become part of the talus slope below there. Yep, you can watch that. We create the universe. It's the only way it possibly can be if quantum electrodynamics is true. If it's not true, we have to get rid of the cell phones and the plasma TVs and just about everything we do. So it is true. So if it's true, then that has to be true too. This is a beautifully orchestrated illusion.
Well, even if you get down to us in a molecular, cellular atoms within us, I mean, there's no matter there. Isn't it just vibrating energy?
It's just a vibrating thought. Yep, so, there's nothing there. It's just a piece of consciousness. And that's where we go to string theory. In string theory, we try to explain string theory. We say, think about a string vibrating without a string being there. And so when you try to picture that, what have you got? Nothing.
Nothing.
You got a thought there. It's a nothing. There's just a consciousness there. That's all there is. And so when you watch the photon, just a part of the universe saying, uh-oh, she's looking at me. I got to become matter, which you see in the double-slit experiment, you realize that the photon is conscious. Okay, the photon knows you're looking. I mean, the photon is conscious.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so if the photon is conscious, then we have to live in a conscious universe. And the materialists will say, oh, I can't stand it. My brain hurts. No, it can't be. My brain hurts. I can't take this in, you know. Well, take it in. It's real. That's what it is. And I, as I say in my book, the luckiest thing that ever happened to me was I got killed in a motorcycle wreck. luckiest thing that ever happened because it opened me up to the other side. Otherwise, I'd probably be one of those stupid scientists arguing.
Alan, before you went to the Arthur Findlay College to learn mediumship, didn't you do some kind of at-home study course?
Morris Pratt, the spiritualist church in the United States, has the Morris Pratt Institute. It's about 100 years old. And they have a very good curriculum. They've been teaching spiritualism for 100 years, healing, mediumship, and how to be a spiritualist minister all at once. Well, I was afraid of things. You know, I mean, I grew up in a fundamentalist Baptist family, and, you know, to do the seance or, you know, you're talking to the devil, according to them. My sister thinks I've gone to the devil, and she prays for me every day, you know, because I'm a medium. She thinks there's no devil, but she thinks I've gone to the devil.
And she's entitled to her opinion, right? Yeah.
And so I was afraid. So I said, well, maybe I can take this correspondence course. So I took their correspondence course, and I spent about 6 years getting through that. It's a 4-year course. Finally, to finish it, I took a cruise for 35 days so that I would have enough time to get through the last 10 lessons and get done. And then the first time I was on the platform in front of people doing a reading, I almost got a name. I had the young lady's deceased former fiance, told what he looked like and everything else. And then I said, he had something to do with basketballs. And she said, he doesn't even like sports. He didn't have anything to do with basketballs. And I said, oh, later I said to Helen, what was that about? And she said, well, the only professional basketball player you know is Jack Sigma of the Seattle Sonics. And I was trying to make you think basketball so that you could say his name, which was Jack. I went back and asked the girl, what was your boyfriend's name? She said, Jacques.
It's interesting. We say we want to believe in the afterlife, but it's hard getting our minds around the science of the afterlife. If you want to go down the rabbit hole even further into science, watch the movie What the Bleep Do We Know? And find the double slit experiment by Dr. Quantum, Fred Alan Wolf, on YouTube. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
The Coast to Coast AM mobile app is here and waiting for you right now. And with the app, you can hear classic shows from the past 7 years, listen to the current live show, and get access to the Art Bell Vault, where you can listen to uninterrupted audio. Head on over to the coasttocoastam.com website. We have a handy video guide to help you get the most out of your mobile app usage. All the info is waiting for you now at coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com.
With age, women and men have issues with fine lines, wrinkles, under-eye bags, crepey skin on the neck, and aging on the hands. Dr. Nathan Newman has developed Lumines for amazing results treating these issues with his stem cell-based formula, APT200. Try Lumines today with our postage-paid starter kit for only $19.99, available exclusively at HealthyLooking.com. Join thousands of satisfied customers using Lumines. Learn more at HealthyLooking.com.
Hey everybody, it's producer Tom, and you're listening to Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain on the new iHeartMedia and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And don't forget, you can listen to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite shows.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we've been in a very deep conversation with Dr. Alan Huguenot, nationally recognized expert in physics and engineering science, and a psychic medium. Alan, you've often spoken about Helen, your middleman on the other side, helping you with your mediumship. Do we all have a Helen?
There seems to be, whether they know it or not, there's a middleman. And the reason that is for spirits, particularly somebody died and they're just over on the other side, we think, well, my husband or just died, or my wife just died, certainly they can communicate with me. Well, no, they have to learn how. They've never done this before. In fact, on this side, they didn't even believe in it. So now they're over
right.
How are they going to communicate back to you? So they go to the medium on that side. And the easiest way to see it is there's four of us. There's me and there's Helen. And then there's the sitter here. And there's the spirit over there that wants to talk to the sitter. And so they talk to Helen, and Helen puts it into things that fit in my head and like Jack and bring it out from me so that I'll say basketballs means Jack, you know, and I will say it. And so Helen puts the feelings into me that make me speak, and she knows how to do that. So she must have known me before, and I'll get the right name and I'll get the right relationship. And I don't know how it happens. I really don't know how it works. All I know is I do it.
Right.
And it seems that Helen's making that happen. And she's pretty happy to tell me, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm right here. That's me. That's what's going on. So, okay, then that's what's happening. So it appears that they need they're not just suddenly magic on that side. They're just like us. It's just the next chapter. We've stepped into the next chapter of our saga. And they're just like us. They still have just the same kinds of problems that we have. So they need to get a medium to talk to the medium. Pretty simple. The soul phone is going to solve that a little bit. We're going to make it a little more obvious to people that you can really talk to those deceased, departed loved ones. They're not really dead.
I'm excited to see how the technology with the soul phone develops. I remember being a kid, Alan, and we were at Disney World back when it first opened. And I remember walking up to a kiosk and somebody could see my face and I was talking to them like we have FaceTime now and Zoom. And to me, that was absolutely mind-blowing. And then one of the rides said, someday there'll be a computer in every household. And here we are so many years later, and we have that, and not just a computer in every household, but our cell phones do everything and more that computers could do. So I'm really excited to see the future of the soul phone. And it sounds to me like we can text our loved ones.
Texting's about 5 years. We're going to be 2 years if we have what we call the soul switch. Yeah, we have that right now. It's very proven technology. We can get yes, no. And with 20 questions, you can get anything you want from the other side using the yes, no soul switch. We detect their presence. Mm-hmm. The soul. We're working on the keyboard, and when we have the keyboard, you can have text. And that's within the next 5 years, honestly. It's really here.
Oh, I've got goosebumps.
Yeah, I get goosebumps. Think about texting your deceased relative, and then they text back. Okay, that's the technology exists. We have everything we need to do it, and we have spirit that works with Gary and the other scientists on this, and it's coming. I can't say too much because
that's
a
okay.
Lot of proprietary, but we're keeping it in proprietary. We're holding it for the people on the other side who gave it to us.
I'm excited about this, Alan, and I know so many listeners will be as well. I know many of us have been just keeping our mouths quiet and not talking about our love for investigating the afterlife. So many people think we're weirdos and that there's no proof of the afterlife. And to have credible people like yourself and Dr. Gary Schwartz and Sonia Rinaldi and people with the Afterlife Research and Education Institute, it makes me feel good that I can share what I love and know that it's backed up by science.
You're serving spirit, and that's what we're doing. And I never charged anybody any money for mediumship. I do it strictly for the science of it. It's not a game. It's not a way to make money. It's none of that. It's absolutely real. Nothing wrong with making money at it, but a lot of people accuse people of being frauds and, yes. and everything else because of the money issue. That's not it at all. It's absolutely real. No one's ever paid me a nickel, and yet I've given them names and relationships and tell them everything about the person who's talking to them. And then I tell them things that only that person could have said. And I don't know where it comes from. And I always know, I know when I'm right on, because my mind will say, Alan, where are you getting this crap? Okay, that's what my mind will say. And when it's really not me at all, it's coming from outside, and it's absolutely them. And they'll mention something that doesn't make any sense to me at all and absolutely makes sense to the person. And that's what this is about. We're serving spirit, and we're going to do that. And we're at a point where the technology is going to take us across the line. James Clerk Maxwell said this has ramifications way beyond anything you can imagine, way out into the universe at too many levels. And we're this is the first crossing of this divide into the physical from the other dimensions. And just the fact that we can detect spirit, and now that we can talk to them openly in a texted message, is way beyond anything we've had before. And suddenly, people who say there is no afterlife, this is all BS and everything else. And by the way, BS stands for belief system. I hope you know that.
No, I didn't. That's great.
BS is the belief system. We all have our BS, our religion. And even if your religion is materialism, it is a religion. It is a belief system. It is a BS. Mm-hmm. And they think, oh, no, we're not superstitious. Well, superstition, according to Carl Sagan, superstition is a belief without data. And so believing in materialism based on six first principles, which have no data to back them up, is got to be superstition. And it is. Quantum electrodynamics is not superstition. We have a lot of evidence for the fact that the universe responds to your intention.
Well, that's good and bad news, because we really have to watch our thoughts and our words.
You say poor me, that's your intention. So don't say poor me.
Oh, I love it. Now, a lot of people think we need to be able to see it or smell it or taste it or touch it to know something's real. Isn't there a world that's happening in the invisible space around us?
For example, you like using electric light, don't you?
I do.
Have you ever seen electricity?
No, I haven't.
None of us have ever seen electricity, so it doesn't exist. When you use a compass, a magnetic compass, it's following the lines of magnetic flux. Does it work? Yeah. Have you ever seen those lines of magnetic flux? No. Are they there? No, they don't. Can't see them, so they don't exist. And it's like that. All of it's like that. The only reason that they even accept electronics is because James Clerk Maxwell, the guy I talked to, wrote those Maxwell's equations, which put magnetism and electricity together and put them into physics, and they just kind of snuck it in the back door, and all of a sudden they realized, oh my God, this stuff is all out there. It's real. It's radiation. It's different levels of radiation. Oh my, you know, I guess we have to deal with this. And it's all electricity is light. It's just light that you can't see. And you have to realize it's out of the visual range. The visual range is this little thin little thing, and the spirits exists in the what we call far ultraviolet, and it's been told to us many times. And if you understand octaves and things, it's five octaves above high C, you'll come to a level which is the far ultraviolet, where they are visible. You just can't see it with your eyes. So we're working with deriving a way to see that, and when we do, then you'll have the video phone. That's about 10 years out. I have it from the other side that we have to perfect the torsion, yin-yang, if you want to call it that, or left and right-handed spin. There's a number of different ways and theories in history. There's a lot of different ways to try to describe the same thing, but it's torsion. It's not electromechanical. We can see it in certain levels, and if it's very dark, and if we're very used to the dark, your rods in your eyes can see it, but your cones can't. And so it usually looks black and white to us instead of colored. But they are visible, and we're going to do the optics to bring it down to where we can use it. Right now we have infrared cameras, and infrared is a color we can't see. Heat is infrared, and there's a color we can't see. It's just below our visual range. And so we take a camera and we make the ultraviolet appear in a color like usually green, which we can see. And that's what an infrared camera does. We're going to do that with far ultraviolet so you can see the deceased spirit talking to you.
Wow.
Still physical, like we are. How we're doing it, I'm not telling you, but it's going to happen.
Do you know what? I wouldn't understand it, even if you did tell me.
In 5 years, you're going to text grandma. And in 10 years, you know, I'll sit you down in a booth and she'll holographically be right in front of you. And when she says hi, her lips will move and everything. And you'll know that it's her. It'll look like her. She'll be wearing a dress that you remember. You know, that kind of thing is just down the road.
Oh.
It's real. And the people who are investing in it are people who used to own phone companies. I mean, this is really something that's going on.
That sure is. And then grandma's got to take a class on her side to figure out how to use the soul phone from the afterlife.
Yeah. I don't know how they're doing it on their side exactly, but we know on this side, we'll be having booths or studios when we get to the texting, it'll finally come in your cell phone eventually. Just like now you text your friends, it'll eventually work down to that. In the beginning, it'll be a little different from that, but it's the technology already exists for everything we're going to do. The religions will debate with us and hate us. You're going to see a new world order very rapidly because no one will be able any longer to say that consciousness and the universe is not conscious, that God or the force, I would rather say the force, doesn't exist. And they'll no longer be able to say that we don't have an afterlife and that don't go on. It's going to be very obvious that all of that is true. We don't die. There are no dead.
Thank you so much, Alan, for all you've done and are continuing to do. For our listeners, I encourage you to find the video on YouTube called The Nature of Consciousness, Interview with Alan Huguenot. And follow the latest on the Soul Phone at thesoulphonefoundation.org. And if you want to tap into your own natural psychic and mediumistic abilities and learn to quiet your mind to connect with your loved ones in the unseen world, we have new courses starting every month online. Check out our calendar at sandrachamplain.com. I'm Sandra Champlain, and you've been listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
You've been listening to Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain. For shows like this and others, please make sure to tune into the new iHeartMedia and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite shows. Like us on Facebook, tell your friends, and share us with everyone.